You are listening to Curious Cat, the podcast that examines the shadowy space where science and the supernatural collide. And I'm your host, Jennifer Hotz. Join me every week as I examine what it means to be a soul in a meat suit. Welcome to Curious Cat. If you've been listening to Curious Cat this season, first, thank you so much. Thank you for every moment you've spent with me. But you also know that this year I've been into angels. In fact, I've taken direction from my morning meditations as to which angel to research and feature next. Archangel Gabriel is no different. He's one that takes my breath away. He's so gloriously beautiful. He's dazzling. I can't even look at him straight on in meditation. So there's this series of meditations I listen to that invoke the angels for protection right off the top. And each time the narrator, Steve Noble, mentions Archangel Gabriel in the East, I blush. I'm working to feel worthy of his love, time, care, and assistance because it's definitely a me thing, not a him thing. And a little footnote there, the angels don't expect us to feel worthy at all to call on them for help, but more on that later. It's said that Gabriel is Archangel of Revelation because God chooses him time and time again to convey important messages. He's also Archangel of the Moon. When you encounter white or copper-tinged light in your dreams, that's a sign that Gabriel has been working with you while you sleep. He is also associated with the colors purple and light blue. From learnreligions.com, Gabriel's name means God is my strength. Other spellings of Gabriel's name include Jibril, Gavriel, Jibrael, and Jabrail. He appears in the Hebrew Bible, the New Testament of the Christian Bible, and the Quran. He appeared to the prophet Daniel to explain the visions he'd been having. He spoke to the parents of John the Baptist to share the news first that their son would be glorified across the world. He came to Mary and Joseph to share the good news of their son Jesus' birth. This is why many call him the Christmas angel. If you wish to master your emotions without repressing them, then it's best to turn to Gabriel. In addition, he's associated with water magic, and the chalice is his elemental tool. His other attributes, sometimes he's depicted holding a lily, a trumpet, a shining lantern, a branch from paradise, a scroll, or a scepter. Archangel Gabriel needs a good old-fashioned duffel bag to hold all that, doesn't he? This image of him holding a trumpet is one frequently seen in the form of those classic Christmas tree topper angels and atop Mormon temples, gilded in gold. I think I have a rendition of this version of Gabriel, though instead of a human face, mine has this porcelain face of a white cat. We purchased it the year our white kitty Starchy died. Gabriel is patron of telecommunications workers, radio broadcasters, messengers, postal workers, clerics, diplomats, stamp collectors, and ambassadors. There's more from learnreligions.com. The founder of Islam, the Prophet Muhammad, said that Gabriel appeared to him to dictate the entire Quran. In Al-Baraq 2:97, the Quran declares, "Who is an enemy to Gabriel? For he brings down the revelation to thy heart by God's will, a confirmation of what went before, and guidance and glad tidings for those who believe." In Hadith, Gabriel again appears to Muhammad and quizzes him about Islam's tenets. Muslims believe that Gabriel gave the prophet Abraham a stone known as the Black Stone of Kaaba. Muslims who travel on pilgrimages to Mecca, Saudi Arabia, kiss that stone. Archangel Gabriel appears in the Book of Enoch and other ancient Jewish writings. He is described, along with Michael, as the guardian angel of Israel, defending its people against the angels of other nations. It was said that God sent Gabriel to destroy the sinful cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and that he used fire to obliterate both. From Angelology Fandom Wiki, in Islam, Gabriel is considered an archangel whom God is believed to have sent with revelation to various prophets, including Muhammad. The 96th chapter of the Quran, the Qur'an, is believed by Muslims to have been the first chapter revealed by Gabriel to Muhammad. From Learn Religions, in his book, In the Footsteps of the Prophet, Lessons from the Life of Muhammad, Tariq Ramadan describes Gabriel's challenging visits to Muhammad such, the angel Gabriel appeared to him several times. The prophet was later to report that the angel sometimes appeared to him in his angelic persona and sometimes as a human being. At other times, the prophet would hear a bell-like sound and revelation would come suddenly, requiring of him such extreme concentration that he came close to asphyxiation. Gabriel plays an important role in religious texts of Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, as I've mentioned earlier, because he foretold the births of John the Baptist, Isaac, and Jesus. Many associate the angel with childbirth and children in general. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints believe him to be the same entity as Noah of the Great Flood and Ark fame. In their book, Dreaming with the Archangels, A Spiritual Guide to Dream Journeying, Linda and Peter Miller Russo write that Gabriel and other archangels may work during your dreams to solve problems if you invite them to do so before going to sleep. They say in the book, you should awaken with the dream world memory that contains the solution or a seed to the solution to your problem. Sometimes you will not remember having a dream at all, yet the answer to the problem will come to your conscious awareness later in the day. That's the work of Gabriel. According to Damien Eccles' book, High Magic, Gabriel stands for the psyche, particularly intuition and the unconscious. Dreams, emotions, and love are all associated with the Archangel Gabriel. His direction is west, his element is water, his season is autumn, and his tarot suit is the cups, the suit of cups. A little angel trivia, by the way. This is something I learned this week. Have you noticed that almost every angel or archangel has a name that ends with the letters E and L? Raphael, Gabriel, Michael, Uriel, Satchel, Zadkiel, Raziel, Haniel, and on it goes. That EL means of God, and an angel is supposed to represent a particular aspect of God, of the collective divine. Well, Metatron and Sandophon do not have that EL because according to some wide circles, they are the only two archangels who were once human. One more angel fact because I can't help myself. Angels predate Christianity or any known religion for that matter, according to Eccles in High Magic. They predate Christianity by millennia. Angels, in fact, show up all over the world in prehistory, including winged figures in caved paintings around the globe and by various names in spiritual traditions that came well before Christianity. For example, the Bodhisattva of various Buddhist lineages. From author and podcaster Julie Jancis, she reminds us that Archangel Gabriel is an advocate for you living your life as your true, authentic self. And Gabriel is here to help you know your real self in order to express yourself fully. Also, quick note that some see Gabriel as a woman, and there's no right or wrong here. Your connection to your angel is yours alone. I happen to see him as a man. Most likely, angels are like God. They're everything and nothing at the same time. Again, from Jancis, Archangel Gabriel is here to help you learn to communicate with loved ones on the other side and to all of your angels. Hear your intuition more clearly. Understand yourself better so that you can speak your needs from your throat chakra in a clear voice. communicate with living family members, particularly during tough conversations with your spouse, your child, your parents, or close friends. Speak with confidence on stage, in small groups, or when working with others. Advocate for yourself, like asking for a raise or promotion. Use your voice and point of view to assist the divine feminine rising and demand equality of all souls on earth. Anytime you're called to speak in any way, you can be sure Archangel Gabriel is right by your side. Embedded in her chapter about Archangel Gabriel, there was this whole soul conversation. Chances goes on in that chapter to say, have you ever cried and heard someone say, don't stop your tears, just let them fall. It's energy within you that needs to be released. This concept applies to the energy within you that needs to be spoken. She goes on to say, most people do not speak enough. Instead, they hold their thoughts, their feelings, and emotions inside. Over time, this energy builds up and needs to be released. Why do we hold things within us instead of speaking them? Chances says it's because we're trained to do so. And a little note from me here, but holding our emotions in is toxic to our bodies. I've witnessed people in my life hold in a secret and be diagnosed with tongue or throat cancer. I've seen people swallow down a hard truth, even with good intentions, and end up with stomach cancer. I have witnessed people stuff down their pain and grief and have a heart episode. Our body absorbs what we stuff into it, food, emotion, chemically, drinks, whatever. If it can't be processed, it's left to fester in our blood and bones. So when you were young, Jancis asks, did your parents ever say, eat all of your dinner or you're not getting dessert? Suck it up. Boys don't cry. Who do you think you are? Put a sock in it. Don't make a fuss. Like our school system, all of these things were part of a culture used to create robotic human workers unable to hear their intuition anymore, taught not to have empathy for themselves or for others, and simply fall in line and obey for 8 stretches of an hour at a time, which is pretty gross, right? She explains that our parents said these things to us because their parents said similar things to them and the generation before that and so on. The consequential damage is that we were taught to hide our soul self. We were taught to be good and not stir up any trouble by speaking up or being ourselves. And this is me here saying this part. The first time I read this in her book, Angels and Awakenings, I ignored it. The second time I read it, I bristled. I was literally annoyed. And my annoyance was put upon Jancis for not using that part of her chapter to talk about Gabriel. I thought to myself, how dare she not focus on him? Then, while I was preparing this episode, I read the chapter a third time and the truth hit me. This part of her book resonated with me. It resonated so true that I willfully blocked it from my brain. She's right. And this is true for me. I've been told my whole life by some family and other people that I need to hide who I am. Then I need to hide it better. Then that I'm too much. It took me until literally this year to realize that when they say I'm too much, what they're really saying is that they're not enough. They don't think they're enough. It was never a me thing. It was a them thing. Anyhow, I'll come down off my apple crate now, but the next time someone reacts in a negative way to you, please remember this. Ask yourself, is this a me thing or a them thing? Are they reacting to a part of themselves they see in me and cannot accept? I'll bet you a nickel that's the case. Back to the insights of Julie Jancis. She explains that we've been conditioned to ignore our inner voice, and most of us carried this over to adulthood. We hold in our thoughts, feelings, emotions, and the result is a buildup of volcanic energy that's bound to explode. Instead of listening to the voice within, speaking truth, and being authentic, we look to society to tell us who to be, which is an interesting point, isn't it? Jancis said this makes us vulnerable to accept society's alternative way of dealing with that toxic pent-up energy, which is where addictions, vices, and trying to be something we're not comes into play. She observes, this system creates workaholics, shopaholics, alcoholic or drug addiction, relationship problems, eating disorders, gambling addictions, and more. We search for something to buy, someone to marry, a job title or salary that will fix it all. But nothing outside of us can permanently fix what is deeply broken, which is the fact that we are souls here to live out our purpose in joy. Gabriel is the key to fixing those deep wounds. If we ask for his assistance, we can heal this wound by remembering who we are and what brings us joy. We can learn to love ourselves and allow ourselves to radiate love to this world by fully expressing, speaking, and living our truth. Easier said than done, right? Well, it begins by setting a boundary. Stop allowing society to dictate what success is or how we should live our lives, how our lives should look. This includes setting a ground rule that you will no longer live to please other people and begin to please yourself. Letting others dictate your life damages your spirit and soul. Jancis believes that learning to speak with love will change this planet. Gabriel asks us to look at it from a different perspective too. Not speaking and talking action on the callings within your heart, both big and small, robs you of your joy. Gabriel reminds us it's never too late to begin living a life and doing work that you love. A final note for you empaths out there. If you want to take back your energy, finding your joy is the place to start. So easier said than done, right? I remember in the early days of being a mom, I didn't think I was doing anything right. I worried and fretted and tried and worried some more. By the time my husband returned from work, I was wrung out. He'd notice my exhaustion and tell me to take the night off, do something for me. I didn't even know what that meant anymore. Sitting in a dark movie theater for a few hours wasn't going to do it. Having a meal out alone? Nope. Going to a bookstore? Those were all temporary fixes. I had to find my joy again. Joy full-time in what was the most important role of my life, being a mom. And that's when I remembered music. I began to play my music, not that brain-growing classical music that they tell you to play for your babies. But I'm talking about The Police, 80s rock, current pop, rap, whatever, and I'd sing along. When my babies were fussy, I'd dance to the tunes with them until they were giggling. I thought being a mother somehow, before all that, was setting my needs, my joys aside for someone else. But in fact, my sweet spot was when I found things I loved and introduced them to my baby days. Jancis reminds us to write down what brings us joy, big, small, everything in between. And in college, I had this thing called I put it on my big desk calendar, and it was like good things coming my way. And sometimes those simple joys were a pair of clean white socks. So that's how small I'm talking about. Maybe it's just brushing your teeth in the morning and that feeling in your mouth when your mouth is clean. But if your mind goes blank, then ask Archangel Gabriel to help you remember. So I have to add here also, ask your guiding spirits, your angels, then listen and watch. Keep in mind, their answers may come in the form of a dream or a song that plays on the radio or a book that's collected dust on your shelf or a 5-minute sun break to walk around the block that ends with a brisk breeze and a bright idea. Jancis ends her lessons about Gabriel with a challenge, 4 actually, and I'll share her questions and my responses, which came out of my morning meditations over these questions. The first is, what in life stopped you from being yourself or speaking your truth? For me, I was told to be, as a young child, the exact opposite of what I naturally am. I was told not to worship or innately trust or to believe in something outside myself. I was told to keep the truth to myself and guard my heart. Next, Jancis asks, what is the best path to get back to myself? I wrote down, do one thing solely for myself each day. Write it in the margins of my morning minutes to keep myself accountable. Third, she asks, are there others in life who I can share my joy and radiate love into the world with? What are their names? Well, I wrote them down, and there was a longer list than I ever would have imagined when I started. And they included the pets in my life. They bring me so much joy. Finally, she has us ask Archangel Gabriel, what are the signs, colors, or numbers you use to communicate with me? How will I know when you are around? Well, I meditated on this and I received a clear answer, but I'm not going to say it here just because you will meditate and you'll receive your own answer, and that is exactly perfect for you. I love her exercises because they remind us to enlist help. We don't receive extra credit in this life for being bullheaded and struggling through alone. In fact, angels love to help us, but they respect free will, so they can never, ever help or intercede unless we ask. I think the story that conveys this the best comes from Damien Eccles. In the introduction to his book, Angels and Archangels, he gives this whole story, this whole account about how angels wrote a book with him. But I'm going to give you a little background first. Eccles spent over 18 years on death row, the last 8 of which were in solitary confinement. He'd been wrongfully convicted and has since been released, but being in prison took a toll. Or should I say, being released and having a complete flip of his life and routines took a toll. Being in forced isolation, sounds and people and colors, lights, events, that was what he called psychologically and emotionally crippling. On death row, he'd worked his way up to doing 8 hours of magic straight. But when he was released, he couldn't do 8 minutes without feeling exhausted. So when the founder of publishing house Sounds True asked him to write a book on magic, Eccles was thrilled, but simultaneously terrified. He had no idea how he would make that happen. Frustrated, he turned to prayer. And I'm reading this straight from his book. Every morning before I went into the studio, I prayed with my entire being, something like the magical equivalent of a prayer of desperation. I began invoking angels one after the other and put particular attention toward Archangel Raphael, as the angels of Mercury, the planetary energy associated with eloquence and successfully conveying ideas to others. It felt like the best choice. Magic traditionally falls under Mercury's domain. So after invoking these intelligences, I walked into the studio with no plans and just opened my mouth and watched it all come out of me, like a dam breaking wide open. Nearly 20 years of study and practice burst forth. Before I knew it, the week had passed and we had recorded pretty much all of the material in high magic. After he completed that book, he found back home he could do magic again and with the same enthusiasm and focus as he'd had on death row. He says, working with angelic energies in my time of need had returned my passions to me and repaired something fundamental in me that made it feel as if I were reborn at long last into the world. Hope his story, his account of the angels helping him to write his book, emboldens you to ask for the angels' help. This is the natural, most perfect time of the year to work with angels, but any moment when you need help, ask. They aren't just pretty tree toppers and sweet cherubs. Angels are fierce warriors, powerful adversaries, inexhaustible sources of wisdom, endless founts of compassion. When your eyes land on that angelic tree topper or ornament, say hello to your angels. Tell them you love them, and then be bold. Ask them to help you with one small thing. then say thank you and exhale. Feel the weight of that concern fall away. If you'd like to try meditating, inviting the energy and love of Gabriel into your life, I'll be posting a short 5-minute, audio clip on that in the days to come, and give it a try. As you and yours venture into the thick of the holiday season, please know that I am so grateful for you, for taking time to listen, share space with me, and allow me to be vulnerable here. I hope you walk away from the time you've spent with Curious Cat stronger, more curious, less afraid, and at the very depth of it, feeling loved. Thank you for listening to Curious Cat. Huge gratitude for my art director and audio engineer. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Until next time, stay curious. I love you.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.